Our reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 14a. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. May God bless his word. Over to you, Ben.
Well, good morning once more. Last week we began a sermon series looking at the armor of God, which we've entitled Dressed for Battle. And this morning we are looking at the first piece of kit that God has given us. Before we begin, let's pray and ask God's help. Lord, it is our prayer that that word which stands above all earthly powers, may abide with us now, that we may be able to stand firm against the Prince of Darkness, not in our own strength, but in yours and in what you provide for us. Amen. By the beginning of 1944, the German High Command had begun anticipating an imminent Allied invasion of then-occupied France. The only question was where. Now, you can imagine how ecstatic the Germans were when their intelligence began intercepting Allied radio communications referring to a planned amphibious invasion at Pas-de-Calais. Over the succeeding months, Nazi agents began hearing more rumors about this alleged operation from within their sources in England. According to these sources, the 1st United States Army Group, led by General George Patton, was planning on invading the north of France sometime around the middle of 1944. Upon hearing of this planned invasion, the German High Command acted immediately, moving over 150,000 of their troops to Pas-de-Calais to help repel the rumored invasion force. But when morning broke on June 6th, 1944, the German High Command woke to an awful surprise. They had been duped. See, the Allied army had begun an invasion of France. However, It was 300 kilometers to the south of Pas-de-Calais, in a place called Normandy, in what has come to be known today as the D-Day landing. See, it turned out that the purported Allied invasion of Pas-de-Calais in the north of France was all part of an elaborate deception on behalf of Allied intelligence forces known as Operation Fortitude. From fake radio traffic to dummy tanks made of inflated rubber to double agents feeding false intelligence, Operation Fortitude was arguably the single most consequential disinformation campaign in military history. Now, when it comes to military history, the Allied forces were not the first army to weaponize the power of deception. It's a tactic as old as the Trojan horse. Even today, social media companies are struggling to counteract the lies and disinformation spread by Russian bots on a daily basis. One of the most effective weapons in an army's arsenal is the power of deception. And well, this is certainly the case when it comes to the opponent that you and I are up against. Just in case you've somehow forgotten last week's message, you and I, we are in the midst of a spiritual conflict. This conflict is ongoing, and the foe that we are up against is fierce. And whether we realize it or not, whether we want to or not, we have all been enlisted in the fight. But as we learned last week, God has graciously given us spiritual armor to help us stand firm in the heat of battle. Nevertheless, it is our responsibility to put this armor on if we are to stand firm against our foe. In today's sermon, I want to take a look at the first item in the believer's kit, the belt of truth. What exactly is the belt of truth, though? Why do we need it? And more importantly, how do we use it? Well, these are the questions I want us to spend time considering together this morning. So let's begin with the first question. What is the belt of truth? Well, to be clear, it's not an actual belt, though I hope you're wearing a belt this morning. Each of the individual items that make up the armor of God are simply metaphors for the various spiritual resources given to us by God that enable us to stand firm in our conflict with the evil one. As I mentioned last week, each item of armor is equally important for believers to wear because each item of armor protects a particular vulnerability we have. And nonetheless, the belt of truth is fundamental in that it's the first piece mentioned by the apostle. Why is this? Well, for starters, the belt was likely the first item a soldier put on when he dressed himself for battle. It would go underneath the soldier's armor and was used to hold his robes in place, thus enabling him to run and fight unencumbered. The last thing you would want as a soldier on a battlefield is to be tripping on your own robes. Now, just as the belt was an indispensable item for the soldier in his battle, so the belt of truth is also an indispensable item for you in your struggle with the evil one. What exactly is it, though? Well, to put it simply, the belt of truth is a metaphor for God's truth. More specifically, the revelation of God's truth given to us in the message of the gospel. It's the same truth Paul alluded to earlier in his letter in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. When reminding the Ephesians of the many blessings which are theirs in Christ, Paul writes, "In Jesus you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." The first piece of kit that God has given to believers to engage in spiritual warfare with is the truth of the gospel message. The gospel, that is the good news of God's saving action in and through Jesus Christ, reveals the truth about God, the truth about us, and the truth about how God has saved sinners like us from judgment, the judgment that we justly deserve. If we're to stand firm and survive this spiritual battle which we are engaged in, then we'll need to take up the truth of the gospel and not forget it. Nevertheless, it may also be true that the apostle is referring to truth not simply in a doctrinal sense, but in a more practical sense as well. While it's certainly important that believers take up the truth of the gospel, the New Testament makes it abundantly clear that that is not enough. Believers are called to practice the truth that we preach and profess. We are not only to believe the truth, but we are to live truthfully. Paul makes this very point in Ephesians as well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, where the apostle exhorts the Christians at Ephesus to walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So when the apostle calls us to take up the belt of truth, to fasten it on, what is he telling believers to do? Well, he's exhorting us not only to remember the truth of the gospel, but also to ensure that we are living lives in conformity to the truth of the gospel. But this leads me to the second question. Why do we need the belt of truth? Well, because without it, your opponent will easily trip you up. The reason we need the belt of truth is because we are up against an enemy who prides himself on his ability to deceive. The devil has been weaponizing his powers of deception right from the beginning. He blew up the paradise of Eden and severed our relationship with God without using bombs, dynamites, or explosives, but simply by telling a lie about God. Genesis 3, verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die if you eat the fruit. For God knows that when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." From the time of humanity's fall up until today, the evil one has been weaponizing lies and deceptions, making us question the trustworthiness of God and the truth of his word. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus gives us one of the most detailed descriptions of the devil and his deceptive tactics. Jesus says, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Because, and get this, there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. It's pretty obvious why believers need the belt of truth then. We are up against an enemy whom Jesus identifies as the father of lies. Lying comes as naturally to him as sleep comes to the elderly. Unlike the elderly, however, Satan isn't tired at all. Now, what kinds of deceptive tactics does the father of lies employ against us? What weapons does he have in his arsenal? Well, the first weapon is twisting the truth. Satan knows that he's far more effective when he twists the truth as opposed to denying it entirely. This is what he did in the Garden of Eden. Instead of denying the reality of God's revelation, he opted to mess with the content of God's revelation. Did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Well, I'm not objecting to the fact that God said something, Eve, but what did he say? I can't remember, can you? Notice how Satan doesn't deny the fact that God has spoken. He simply injects ambiguity about the precise meaning of what God has said. Now, he continues to employ this tactic in and through false teachers today, some of whom twist ever so slightly what the Bible teaches. Satan not only twists the truth, but he also tempts us to be content with hypocrisy, to be untruthful people. We must remember that our opponent has no issue with playing the hypocrite. In fact, Paul teaches us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. That is to say, he's happy to pretend to be other than what he actually is. He's a hypocrite. This shouldn't surprise us, though. After all, there is no truth in him, to quote Jesus. Satan wants us to copy him, to be hypocrites and liars too. While he may not be able to convince Christians to believe his lies, he has been able to convince some to be content with hypocrisy, to masquerade as children of the light while dabbling too much in the darkness. Through encouraging believers to give in and to be complacent with deceit and hypocrisy, Satan is then able to exploit their guilt. That's what he does. After all, it's hard to fight the evil one with integrity when you know that you've sided with him by entertaining sin and by dabbling in the darkness where he dwells. This is why we Christians desperately need the belt of truth. It protects us from the lies and the schemes of our enemy. But how do we use the belt of truth? How do we actually fasten it on and take it up in our daily skirmishes with the enemy? Well, firstly, through regularly reading and meditating on God's truth revealed in Scripture. We put on the belt of truth every time we open up our Bibles. Let me say that again. We put on the belt of truth every time we open up our Bibles, for God's word is truth, to quote Jesus. This also explains why many believers, myself included, struggle to read the Bible regularly. It's not simply that we're lazy or too busy. It's that our opponent, the devil, doesn't want us to read the Bible. He doesn't want us to be exposed to the truth. This may sound strange, but every morning when you open the Scriptures, you are engaging in spiritual warfare. By taking the time to meditate on the truth of the gospel, you are equipping yourself to stand against the devil's lies. The more familiar you are with God's truth, the greater your ability to discern deception. Given this, we should probably expect the devil to do everything within his power to prevent us from regularly reading Scripture and being exposed to the truth. Whether it be flooding our minds with anxious fears or making us believe that we are too dumb to understand the word, our opponent will use every trick in his book to keep us from reading God's book. Because he knows that when we read God's book, we know the truth, and that truth sets us free from the evil one's lies. Another way we put on the belt of truth is through developing relationships with other believers whom we speak the truth to and who, in return, speak the truth to us also. Now, on two occasions in Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle refers to believers speaking the truth to each other. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, the apostle writes, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are all members of one another." In reality, there will be moments in each of our lives when we'll be tempted to live by lies. There may even be moments when we forget to fasten on the belt of truth. This is why we need brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to speak the truth in love to us. And we need to be willing to listen to them when they do so. For when we have brothers and sisters in Christ who speak the truth to us regularly, we are reminded again and again of what we believe, and we are encouraged to put away falsehood, as the apostle says, and to put on the belt. The final way that we can take up the belt of truth is through striving to live lives of transparency and integrity. Remember, the evil one wants us to become imitators of him, to be hypocrites and liars, to be pretenders and fakes, just as he is. One of the ways we resist the devil's scheme is through being people of honesty and transparency. To quote the Bible commentator John Stott, Transparent truth is what the devil abominates most. Let me say that again. Transparent truth is what the devil abominates most. You take up the belt of truth. Every time you repent and confess your faults to God and to your siblings in Christ. When you practice this kind of transparent truthfulness, when you stop pretending, you disarm Satan of one of his most powerful weapons, accusation. Satan cannot accuse you of sins that you've confessed and brought into the light. He can only accuse you of sins that you have hidden and hardened your heart to. When we tell God and others the truth about ourselves, we disarm the evil one. And we are better able to stand firm against the accuser. If you're anything like me, though, you're probably all too aware of the many instances in your life when you've failed to live by God's truth, by putting on the belt of truth. Even as you reflect on this past week, you can't help but be encountered by the many different examples when you have been duped by the devil in the same old ways, using the same old schemes. Now, the good news for fallible believers like us is that there is one who never forgot to put on the belt of truth. There is one who never fell for the lies and the schemes of the devil. I'm speaking, of course, about Jesus Christ. When the prophet Isaiah described the coming Messiah in Isaiah chapter 11, 1 through 5, he wrote that righteousness will be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Now, according to Isaiah, one of the defining characteristics of the Messiah will be his concern for what is right and his desire to live accordingly. We see Isaiah's prediction fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. God in flesh. The clearest example of this comes right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he has a showdown with the devil in the wilderness. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. How did Jesus endure the attacks and the temptations of the devil? Well, he had belted on the word of truth, hadn't he? Time and again, he said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." The good news of the gospel is we are saved not because of our victory over the evil one, but because of Jesus' victory. He remained faithful to the truth, even though it led him to a cross. He never compromised. He never played the hypocrite. He never went back on what God had said, not even once. And he did it for you, because he knows that time and again, you and I fail to fasten on the belt. Time and again, we are duped by the same old lies. Time and again, instead of standing firm, our feet give way. But the good news of God's grace is that those who look to Jesus receive Jesus' record, no matter what our record may be. His victory becomes our victory. His faithfulness to the truth, his obedience to God's word becomes our faithfulness and obedience when we are united to him in faith. But Jesus does more than just that. He gives you today his belt of truth. Remember, it's the armor of God because it belongs to God and he wore it first. Jesus gives to you today the very belt which he wore in his battles with the deceiver. And by putting on his belt, you will be able to stand firm against the devil's schemes too. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanks that you were faithful and obedient in our place. For if our salvation depends on our own faithfulness and obedience, we are without hope. And yet in your great mercy, Lord Jesus, you came to earth, dressed in the armor of God. You never forgot to fasten on the belt of truth. And it was that truth that gave you strength to endure the temptations and the trials and the schemes of the evil one. Indeed, you endured through it all to the point of death on the cross. Even as you were nailed to the cross, you did not give in. You did not come down from the cross to show off your glory. You showed us your glory by staying nailed to it. How comforted we are then, Lord Jesus, that your righteous record becomes our own by faith. And how comforted we are to know that that very belt which you wore around your waist, you have given to each of us. Prompt us to put it on so that we, like you, may also stand firm. Amen. Well, I think it's fitting, brothers and sisters, that we conclude.